Japan. Section 1. Geography and Early Japan.
If you were there. You live in a small farming village on one of the islands of Japan. You are very happy with your life. The sea is nearby and food is plentiful. You have a large extended family to protect and take care of you. Your grandmother says that life in your village has not changed for hundreds of years, and that is good. But now you have heard that some people from across the sea are coming to your village. They are bringing new ideas and new ways of doing things. How do you feel about these changes?
Building background. Japan is a large group of islands located east of the Asian mainland. Life in Japan has always been influenced by many factors. The island's geography and location shaped how people lived there, and as you read above, visitors from other lands also affected Japanese society. Geography shapes life in Japan. The islands of Japan are really just the tops of undersea mountains and volcanoes sticking up out of the ocean. Those mountains, as you can see on the map, cover nearly all of Japan. Only about 20% of the land is flat. Because it is difficult to live and farm on mountain slopes, most Japanese people have always lived in those flat areas, the coastal plains. In addition to the mountains and the lack of flat land, the nearness of the sea shaped the lives of Japanese people. Their homes were never far from the sea. Naturally, they turned to the sea for food. They learned to prepare all kinds of seafood, from eel to shark to octopus to seaweed. As a result, seafood has been a key part of the Japanese diet for thousands of years. The island's location affected the Japanese people in another way as well. Because they lived on islands, the Japanese were separated from the other people of Asia. This separation allowed the Japanese to develop their own culture. For example, they created a religion and a social structure very different from those in other parts of Asia. This separation has always been an important part of Japanese society. Japan isn't totally isolated, however. Look at the inset map above to find Korea and China. As you can see, neither country is very far from the Japanese islands. Korea is only about 100 miles away from Japan. China is about 400 miles away. Those short distances allowed the older Korean and Chinese cultures to influence the new culture of Japan. Early Japanese society. Korea and China did play a major part in shaping Japanese society, but not at first. Early Japan was home to two different cultures, neither of which had any contact with the rest of Asia. The Ainu. One culture that developed in Japan was the Ainu. Historians aren't sure exactly when or how the Ainu moved to Japan. Some people think they came from what is now Siberia in eastern Russia. Wherever they came from, the Ainu spoke a language unlike any other language in eastern Asia. They also looked different from the other people of Japan. Over time, the Ainu began to fight with other people for land. They lost most of these fights, and so they lost their land as well. Eventually, the Ainu were driven back onto a single island, Hokkaido. Over time, the Ainu culture almost disappeared. Many people gave up the Ainu language and adopted new customs. The first Japanese. The people who lived south of the Ainu eventually became the Japanese. They lived mostly in small farming villages. These villages were ruled by powerful clans or extended families. Other people in the village, including farmers and workers, had to obey and respect members of these clans. At the head of each clan was a chief. In addition to his political power, each chief also had religious duties. The Japanese believed that their clan chiefs were descended from nature spirits called kami. Clan chiefs led their clans in rituals that honored their kami ancestors. Over time, these rituals became a central part of the traditional religion of Japan, Shinto. According to Shinto teachings, everything in nature, the sun, the moon, trees, waterfalls, and animals, has kami. Shintoists believe that some kami help people live and keep them from harm. They build shrines to kami and perform ceremonies in which they ask the kami to bless them. The First Emperors. The clans of early Japan weren't all equal. Some clans were larger and more powerful than others. In time, a few of these powerful clans built up armies and set out to conquer their neighbors. One clan that gained power in this way lived in the Yamato region, the western part of Japan's largest island, Honshu. In addition to military might, the Yamato rulers claimed to have a glorious family history. They believed they were descended from the most powerful of all kami, the goddess of the sun. By the 500s, the Yamato rulers had extended their control over much of Honshu. Although they didn't control the whole country, the leaders of the Yamato clan began to call themselves the emperors of all Japan. Japan learns from China and Korea. Early Japanese society received very little influence from cultures on the Asian mainland. Occasionally, officials from China, Korea, or other parts of Asia visited Japan. For the most part, however, these visits didn't have a great impact on the Japanese way of life. By the mid-500s, though, some Japanese leaders thought that Japan could learn a great deal from other cultures. In particular, they wanted to learn more about the cultures of China and Korea. To learn what they wanted to know, the rulers of Japan decided to send representatives to China and Korea to gather information about their cultures. They also invited people from China and Korea to move to Japan. The emperors hoped that these people could teach the Japanese new ways of working and thinking. Changes in language. One of the first things the Japanese learned from China and Korea was language. The early Japanese didn't have a written language. Therefore, many learned to write in Chinese. They continued to speak in Japanese, however, which is very different from Chinese. It wasn't until about 200 years later that people devised a way of writing in Japanese. They used Chinese characters to represent the sounds used in Japanese. As Japan's contact with China increased, some Japanese people, especially rich and well-educated people, began to write in the Chinese language. Japanese writers used Chinese for their poems and stories. One of the first stories of Japan, written in the 700s, is in Chinese. For many years, Chinese was even the official language of Japan's government. Changes in religion and philosophy. One of the people most influential in bringing Chinese ideas to Japan was Prince Shotoku. He served from 593 to 621 as regent for his aunt, the Empress. A regent is a person who rules a country for someone who was unable to rule alone. All his life, Prince Shotoku admired Chinese culture. As regent, Shotoku saw a chance for Japan to adopt more Chinese ideas. He sent scholars to China to learn all they could about Chinese society. The ideas these scholars brought back changed Japanese society. For example, they taught the Japanese about Confucianism. Among other things, Confucianism outlined how families should behave. Confucius taught that fathers should rule their families. He believed that wives should obey their husbands, children should obey their parents, and younger brothers should obey older brothers. Families in China lived according to these rules. As Confucian ideas spread through Japan, the Japanese began to live by them as well. More important than these social changes, though, were the vast religious changes Shotoku made in Japan. He was a Buddhist, and he wanted to spread Buddhism throughout his country. Buddhism wasn't new to Japan. Korean visitors had introduced the religion to Japan about 50 years earlier, but it was not very popular. Most people preferred to keep their traditional religion, Shinto. Shotoku worked to change people's minds about Buddhism. He built a grand Buddhist temple that still stands today. He also wrote commentaries on Buddhist teachings. Largely because of his efforts, Buddhism became very popular, especially among Japanese nobles. Changes in government. Shotoku also wanted to change Japan's government to be more like China's. He especially wanted Japan's emperors to have more power like China's emperors did. Afraid that they would lose power to the emperor, many clan leaders opposed Shotoku's government plans. As a result, Japan's emperors gained little power. Summary and preview. In this section, you learned how early Japan grew and developed. Next, you'll see how Japan's emperors encouraged nobles to create great works of art and literature. But first, review the main ideas of this section. Then, take some time to demonstrate what you've learned by answering the section assessment questions.